Regarding
You'll
your
have to
question.
unmute
Oh,
yourself.
can you hear me?
Now
Can you hear me, Brother Adam?
yes, go ahead.
Ah, right.
I can, go ahead.
Yes, in Acts chapter 9, we read how the Lord Jesus, as he spoke to Ananias, that's on the road of Damascus, what happened there. And Ananias had second thoughts on this, that it was not a good idea. He said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." And then came the instruction to bear my name to the Gentiles, the kings, and the sons of Israel. So it was in three directions that he was especially capable, through the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, to preach give a witness of the gospel. And then, of course, he adds, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So it was that it was difficulties were to come for him. So he had to treasure really the message he could carry forth. And that's what he faithfully did. And yes, that might do. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Sister Linda. So quite obviously, didn't have time to read the full, but from verses 2 and 3, it was the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned, that enabled him to speak with boldness and strength and success. And actually, in this letter of Ephesians, I didn't give it an introduction, but Apostle Paul spent, I think from memory, years there and longer than any other areas. And he managed to bring the truth thanks to the Heavenly Father's grace and help. Any other aspects? Yes, Brother Darren.
Yes, Brother Adam. A few verses in Romans 15. If I could read Romans 15, verse 15 to 17, it speaks there of the Apostle Paul and his ministry to the Gentiles. It says, "But I have written you boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that were given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest and gospel, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God." I think that just shows there that he was that chosen vessel to the Gentiles, and it's through the Holy Spirit, and that he was also to boast in Christ. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Brother Darren. Because we're limited with time, we could make a discourse on each verse, actually. They're so rich in Ephesians here. We may take on verse 9 as well, which reads, "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things." So I'll take on now and prod verse 9 a little bit for any comments or questions you may have for verse 9. It sort of states the mystery which for ages has been hidden. There's this aspect, obviously, if you were to underline it, what is the mystery, would be an obvious question. Sister Yvonne. I can't hear you, Sister Yvonne. You've remuted. You'll have to unmute. I can't hear you, Sister Yvonne.
Can you hear me now?
Now
can
I can.
Lovely. Sorry about that. I'm technical with this computer, but now I have a verse to support what I want to say about that. This about this mystery, and that is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So when it says that it will be explained, all men will see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So in due time, all people in during the kingdom will be made aware of this mystery. And that's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you for that. And Brother Nohan posted Colossians 1:25-27 in the chat comment. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. For even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations, but now is manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the richness of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother Ray, you've got a comment.
Yeah, Brother Adam, it's also interesting that this point came out when the apostles asked our Lord why was he speaking in parables. And it's interesting, in Matthew 13:10-11 reads, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in the parables? And he answers and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And so when we look at this, we see that from the coming of our Lord, that he separated those who are going to be the ones that followed him, that they would get the understanding. But for the world, it was just an interesting story, an interesting parable. Thank you.
And posting reference to the volume referring to the hidden mystery of those that have studied volume one will be a familiar chapter there. Any comments or further questions that we may have on this verse 9 before we move on? I'm setting a bit of a blistering pace in this Ephesians study, but I want to get some of the key points to take out of it. Sister Linda. You'll have to unmute, Sister Linda.
You hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And the mystery... Well, it's a sacred secret. It's God's sacred secret, and that is the plan of the ages. It is the divine plan of salvation for all. And that is so amazing. He has put it into the scriptures, and our eyes have been opened that we can glean it, and here and there we find more details of it, to understand how the plan is going to function. And it is, of course, based on Christ Jesus, our Lord, who paid the ransom price. That all glory be unto God.
Thank you for that, Sister Linda. And the versions, if you go to Rotterdam, is a very... It focuses this mystery, turns it, and uses the terminology of sacred secret. And that's a very, very nice way of describing it. Brother.
Can I have...
Brother Adam.
Can I, Brother Adam, can I say something?
Before Sister you... Anna? Okay. Go, Sister Anna.
All right, thank you. Okay. I have verse from First Peter and first chapter, where Apostle Peter says about the prophets, they were talking and they were predicting, but they themselves could not understand this mystery. And from verse 10, it reads, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, search intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So even angels long to look into these things. So even the spiritual powers, they looking and hearing, and the prophets did not have opportunity because Holy Spirit was not given yet. Thank you.
Brother Adam, can I follow talking now?
Go ahead, Brother Ted.
Okay. I find another beautiful verses in First Corinthians and chapter 15 and verses from 51. Actually 51 only, that will give us already indication and light. Can I read that?
Go ahead.
Okay. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, correct, in the flesh, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. No, we can read more verses, but this is already a great mystery which God keeps for himself for long time. And for us, this is wonderful that we could understand that we have such beautiful hope for future. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Ted. I'll go to Brother Ben Wack. Brother Ben Seawack, if you'd like to unmute, you had a comment to make, Brother Ben.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the mystery hidden and where was it hidden? And I like the scripture that Jesus gave in Luke 24:44 and on. Remember, after his resurrection, he's walking on the road to Emmaus and he sees the disciples there and they're all bewildered about this. And he went through and he gives them the whole plan of what he came for, why he had to die, what was going to be the outcome of that, all based on the Old Testament scriptures. So God had hidden the whole plan that he had. It was all hidden in the Old Testament, but it wasn't until Jesus came that the Holy Spirit revealed it, the mystery that then was shown, that Jesus came to die and to call out a bride for his name. But you see that in the pictures of Abraham and Isaac and in David and all these things, but if until you see how Jesus interprets it, you don't fully understand it. And it was just beautiful how God had it all figured out for all eternity there.
Thank you for that, Brother Ben. We had a post of Ephesians 5:32, this great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And this is the one aspect of the mystery that nicely Brother Nahan's linking into, that the Messiah is not just the Messiah. There's composed as a Messiah of 104,000, which is the church. And it's a mixed seed that will be composed undoubtedly of the Gentiles and the Jews as well. Brother Darren.
Yes, Brother Adam, just an interesting translation from the New American Standard, and also it's in the Amplified. And it puts it to this so that the multifaceted wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The multifaceted, I just thought that was an interesting way, and I think just how we just had the discourse with Brother David on the Psalms and how really it's interwoven to God's plan and all the various beautiful truths that there that lead to the light, which was Christ. So it really comes down to the commencement of this being revealed was at the Jewish harvest with our Lord's words, and that it's continued in through to this gospel age period that this has been revealed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Brother Darrow. Well, Brother, we may slowly move on because we've got quite a few challenging verses ahead of us still to go, and take on board verse 10 now for any examination and prodding, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. So verse 10 now, we'll sort of see whether we can find some key quick points or bullet points out of it, or if any have any questions. This manifold wisdom of God comes out. It's a very interesting, we haven't got time to go into it, but if you look to the Greek, the word is 4182 for this manifold wisdom. And it's the word in Greek, polykopoulos, which is a highly variated colouring. And Apostle Paul, he uses very specific terminology, because it comes from the word polytechic, but he puts poly in front of it. And it means the very wide wisdom of God in variance. And the best way to illustrate it is a spectrometer. And for those of you that know a little bit about them, there's only about 10,000 colors or shades of colors that you find. So Apostle Paul's really, if you go through his writings and you study any of these books, it's amazing how he's using very specific words and giving the maximum under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And really, when you think about it, every child of God has a different leading along their way and development, and a different facets of divine wisdom, as Brother Darren was pointing to using that word facet there. And so everybody has individual development to the full extent, and they shall be mine, the Lord's jewels we got there. Anyway, I'm the chair, I shouldn't be making a discourse out of this, but any more thoughts or comments we may have on this verse 10, it's very, very rich. As such, but I just thought I'd lead in this manifold aspect of this wisdom of God. Comments or questions relating to it? I'll read you a Phillips translation, if I may, in modern English, and it reads like this. The purpose is that all the angelic powers should now see the complex wisdom of God's plan worked out through church in conformity to that timeless purpose which is centered in Christ Jesus our Lord. So any common questions we have on this particular verse here? We've got stunned silence at the moment, I'm afraid. Brother Ray.
Interesting verse when we look at it, because we look at it in the sense here in verse 10 to, you know, we have the manifold wisdom of God. But it's interesting that it isn't until this due time that it appears that the angels in the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, and we can only look at that as being the angels, it gives us a bit of a point that the angels had a lot of knowledge, but they didn't truly know the absolute knowledge of the Heavenly Father and his plan. And we need to think about that, that if they knew it, so would have Satan. And Satan tried his hardest to, as we know, to destroy to destroy the Messiah, because they knew if he knew if he was crucified and raised, that his days were very much numbered. And so I think this is part of the message that's being here, that even now, and also one of the points is that the church, through its through us, should be showing an example to those who are kept in chains of darkness, to the fact that even with Satan, that with the help of the Heavenly Father, we can come through all of our experiences. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brother Ray. Brother Matt.
Yes, in line with what Brother Ray was saying, this we're seeing that the mystery is really found in the church, because it can't just be, as some have said, well, it's the mystery is Christ. That's really not the full picture, because as it brings out here, that there is this, in a sense, there's this ministry or evidence being presented, or ministry, I should say, not evidence, ministry to the authorities in heaven. And as Brother Ray mentioned, this has to be including that of the fallen angels, the demonic hosts. And so this is why we see that this has been hidden. And even when Christ was on earth, initially they could not understand, as one of our brethren mentioned in his discourse, that here they were fighting about who was the greatest and sitting on the right hand, the left hand in his kingdom. It just, before the Holy Spirit was poured out, they did not understand what they were going to be part of. So that's my short comment. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brother Matt. We had Hebrews 8 and 5 and 6 post, Brother Nohan, which read, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses wished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, or see that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the court. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Sister Linda.
Regarding what is the mystery and in heavenly places, we read on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 onwards, if you want to read that, to verse 10. Which, are you going to read it, Brother Abbott?
I haven't got it up, Sister Linda. If you've got it, you go ahead and read it. Yes.
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the his pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention." Good pleasure it should be. "Which he purposed in him with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. So here's the plan. It's, in brief words, it is revealed to us that all this was already in the thought pattern of our Almighty God before the foundation of the world. So he had planned the sacred secret before he started with the creation of the world, before he started with the word. And what a wonderful plan he had, that he would have through Christ Jesus those who would follow him, those who would want to be his disciples. They would be adopted as sons, and that was his good pleasure, and that is to bring praise and glory to his grace. He made the arrangement through Christ Jesus, who paid the ransom price, so through his blood we have forgiveness, and indeed he lavished it upon us in all wisdom. What a wisdom! And the wisdom is that God should take from you humans, various ones from the humans, and put them in training, and that they, with the different experiences which each one has, they would be a good help and a multifaceted Christ, the Savior, to assist the whole world of mankind, which goes through various experiences, which will be fully made known to them in their due time.
What Thank you, Sister Linda. Thank you, Sister Linda. Just bear in mind, brethren, we're in time with your comments, so if you could kindly keep them brief, because there's other brethren that would like to answer. Sister Rowena.
Just on the aspect of it being preached to the Gentiles, I just have a comment here that says, for Apostle Paul, there is no deeper division in the human race than that between Jews and Gentiles. That they could be united with each other in Christ displays the profound wisdom of God and proves even to supernatural powers that Jesus is Lord of the universe. And I just had a reference to Colossians 1, verse 19 to 22. Just on this reconciliation. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So it's a wonderful transformation that God has brought into the gospel age, that of transforming and building a bride for Christ, and preparing that. And it can only be done through this reconciliation work, whether we're a Gentile or a Jew, or male or female. And, just this bringing that peace that Christ had gave through his life on the cross. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Rowena. Brother Ben.
Just looking in 1 Corinthians 2:7, Apostle Paul connects the hidden mystery or secret there in verse 7. It says, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. And again, he's now this mystery. He's a kind of attaching it to this wisdom. And in the first chapter, he's really emphasizing what this wisdom is and how we get this wisdom. And there's only one way to truly get that wisdom. And that is in verse 30 of chapter 1, where he says, he is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. So only as we come into Christ can we gain this manifold wisdom that then we are to share with others, both outwardly, but as also how it changes our life. And I think that is the way in which we share the, and make it manifest to the angels, in that are we living a life of Christly wisdom that comes from God. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Brother Ben. As time is pushing on, we may just move on, brethren, and take on board from verses 11, 12, and 13 as well, to open those which read, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access through faith him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. So I'll prod these verses as well. Brother Nohan.
Yes, Brother Adam, I hope I'm coming through quite clear. God has given us his channels, his ways to get into the access into the Most Holy, get into the access to know the mysteries like what we studied just before, of the church and many other mysteries, and also to know what his intentions are. And here in the previous verse, it tells wisdom of God made known through church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. So even that particular wisdom, we see that God has given as appointed channels. And once a channel is the harvest truth message, undoubtedly, being in this narrow path before a fair amount of time, since the day I came into the knowledge of the Bible students and the Bible study in all appropriateness and in propriety. It is amazing that the message that is being given in the Tabernacle Shadows, the volumes and all reprints, and also in various other forms that we are seeing even to this day, it is highly critical for us that we hold on to this message. I believe that without this harvest message or meat in due season, it will be difficult for anyone to understand the mysteries. And especially when Pastor Russell also makes a comment, yes, it is not for the nominal church, but also one should also be more inclined into their consecration. And that is pretty much a straightforward, wonderful answer from Pastor Russell. And it is our own consecration in understanding. God gives us an abundance of his wealth of information, his wisdom, to his children, those who ask him. But for us, we need to be careful in using these mysteries, not to unnecessarily hurt anyone, but praising God and learning and keep learning and waiting for the day. Thank you, Brother Adam.
Thanks for that, Brother Nohan. Just for verse 11, for those that if you want to have a look at eternal purposes, the Diaglot renders it the plan of the ages, which was really the title of volume one, just following on from your thought. So God's love beforehand had arranged a plan that was purposed in our Lord Jesus. Brother Ray.
Thank you for that, Brother Adam. I was looking at that too. When we look at it, nothing had been left to chance. Nothing. It was all purpose, but it required his son to be willing, as he was, to give his life. But I like the point in verse 12, where it talks about the boldness and confident access through faith in him to the Heavenly Father, is what it's talking about. And that is actually freedom of utterance, is what it really means. That boldness is freedom of utterance.
The idea is that we may come to God now in prayer with confidence through the Lord Jesus. And the Jews did not have that because they had to make their sacrifices. If they did it wrong, then they were not, they hadn't atoned properly. And Ephesians 2 and 18 gives the beautiful picture. It is through Christ that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are able to come in the one Spirit into the presence of the Father. And we remember that the curtain that separated us, has separated the Jews from the Holy of Holies, was torn when Christ gave his life. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Brother Ray. So, yes, there it's only through the merit of our Lord Jesus that we have this boldness and confidence to approach the throne of grace. A quantum leap, as you said, to the Old Testament arrangement that the nation of Israel was faced with. Sister Yvonne.
Yes, so just as was said, it's only through Christ, because Christ, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I would like to read two verses to just elaborate on these words, boldness and access, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So because we have a high priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses, we can approach God's throne because we believe by faith in Christ being the propitiation for our sins and being able to have justification. And it says beautifully in 1 John 7 that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that verse, all sin. It cleanses us. The precious blood of our Savior cleanses us from every single sin. And then another verse about confidence and boldness is in Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 reads, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opens for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And just one more verse, sorry, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 onwards, Ephesians 2, 4, it says, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So now it says here in this verse that we now can be in heavenly places. We can enter that through that gate. We can approach the divine realm only thanks to our beloved Savior, Christ Jesus, and by the grace we have been saved. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Sister Yvonne. We may move on now, study, because we've gone beyond time and I haven't reached the halfway mark, so we're going to have to do a little bit faster sprint. But we'll take on verse 14 next, which reads, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So we'll take on verses 14 and 15 because I think they're quite important as well, as are all the others. But there's some interesting aspects, I think, that come out of this. The bowing of the knees before the Father. One would think of going down on prayer knees, it's very important. It's sort of linking into very interesting aspects as well. I cannot help but go to the terminology our Lord Jesus used, Abba Father, when he went to the Heavenly Father. He titled that close relationship Abba Father, and it's imperative not to lose sight of that closeness with our Heavenly Father. It's paramount, in fact, and it's also magnificent. I mean, I'll be quiet. Brother Ray.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Adam. It's actually interesting. I looked at the Good News Bible, which is, of course, a modern translation, but it's interesting because he saw all these wonderful things in the verses before, and he didn't want to discourage those that were around. But he says, for this reason, I fall on my knees before the heavenly and before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth received its true name. And that's one of the interesting points, that it's only through the scriptures that we actually find out the fact that, you know, mankind was made by him, every one of the animals was made by him, that Adam was given the job of naming them. But he's really pointing out that all of us had our beginning from the Heavenly Father. And as he said, it's that word Father that is so critical, because we do not have the, as it says earlier, that fear of coming before Yahweh, as that name actually terrified many of them, because they did not have the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brother Ray. Sister Rowena has posted a question, as she says, if appropriate, in Ephesians chapter 2 and 6 and 12, there's reference to wicked powers in heavenly places. Is that what Apostle Paul was referring in verse 10? I think I may put that question on hold, because we've got a lot more verses to cover, if you don't mind, Sister Rowena. I'm happy to answer on a we could examine it on a Sunday, but I sort of may hold it for a minute. Sister Linda.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Regarding Abba and Father, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, as we know, are the scriptures here, 14, 15 reads, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And that is the difference. The Jewish nation were a house of servants under their law covenant. And we have been begotten with the Holy Spirit to be sons in training for being sons of God. So it is not that we are slaves in the way to the law, but we have got the spirit of adoption. We are looking forward that we be of the divine family, to be children of the Almighty God. And therefore we cry, Abba, Father. And that was also at the cry of our Lord when he was in agony in Gethsemane. Abba, Father. And Abba, we are informed, that is more the form like a little child would call a father, something similar to daddy. But of course our Lord did not stay a child. He grew up into manhood, calling him Father. And that is our our desire that we grow up into a fully grown man in Christ.
Thank you for that, Sister Linda. Any more comments or questions that we have? Well, not so much the comments, mainly. I'll go back to Sister Rowena's quick, if we've got enough time, because I still want to cover the verses. The thing that comes out undoubtedly is this aspect of deriving one's name from whom every family in verse 15 and on earth derives its name. And that aspect undoubtedly, name in a way defines character. It gives you the traits. And we try and derive traits of our Heavenly Father if we can. And really, we have to be conformed to the image of His Son. That aspect comes out like we have in Romans 8:29 from memory. So those aspects that come out.
Brother Adam, are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, it just dropped for a moment there. Just a very quick statement. When we're talking of names, one of the most critical ones we need to remember is actually in Acts 11 and 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And we remember when we did the study, Brother Adam, we looked at the fact that they were called those of the way. But when we look at it, the Christians there means we are followers of Christ. And we need to be very careful because there are people that would like to move us away from that name. And this is the point. It is Christ that we follow, and through him that we have access to the Father. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brother Ray. Sister Melinda.
Yes, Brother Adam. I'm just wondering, has Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 been read before?
No. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Philippians 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Sorry, 9, 10, 11. Yes. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Melinda. Well, we may take on the next verse, which is verse 16 for time, and then go back to the question to Rowena if we finish the verses. Verse 16 reads, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So noting the wording there in verse 16, he, in capitals, would grant you. Note the importance of the granting. You don't earn it, per se. We go on bended knee, and goes back to this bowing the knee beforehand, ask the Heavenly Father for his Holy Spirit. And that's what creates growth, undoubtedly, in the new creature. And you want to ask the Heavenly Father to walk in, effectively, I think, his corridors, in a way, you'd nearly say. Apostle Paul wishes he will be given this grant. But anyway, I'm the chairman. I'll be quiet. But words that you may want to focus into, the riches of his glory, the strengthening aspect through and power through his Spirit in the inner man. any comments on these verses? What sort of comes to your mind, brethren? It's obviously strengthening the inner man, this new creature that Apostle Paul is talking about here. And this ties into the thoughts that we're weaving through. He gives us really the privilege to call him Abba Father. As such, Brother Ray.
It's interesting, Brother Adam, that this is a theme that the Apostle Paul uses. And I'm just going to look at a couple of them. In Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Nothing can be bought. And when we come through to Romans, and in 9 and 23, in order that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And when we look at this, this plan was already set up before we even existed. And we've got to look at it. Then the sacrifice was made, not because we'd done anything right. We were all sinful. Not one of us was righteous, and yet he was prepared for his son to come. And so when we look at it, the riches of his glory, he owns everything. He created it, had it created. And yet he allows us to have a share in this glory. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ray. So the Heavenly Father allows us to share in this glory. The glory, really, it's to me, if you were to define glory, I think it's the total good assets of something or anything. It's the total concept. In other words, everything the Heavenly Father does is more than good. That's the way. And it should be, it's all reflected in his name as well. Sister Linda.
Yes, in Colossians 1 and verse 9 to 12, the Apostle Paul speaks of the Colossians that he prayed for them and asked that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And to the effect that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So in order to please him and bring honor to him, in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it is a growing, isn't it? Verse 11 then says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attainment of all steadfastness. And patience, endurance, and joyously, and then giving thanks for to the Heavenly Father, because he gives us a share, or the prospect of a share, in the inheritance of the saints in life. So it is a matter of asking, and praying and asking, and then performing, in other words, applying in our lives, strengthened by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Sister Linda. And Sister Melinda.
Yes, Brother Adam. I would like to make a comment in relation to the inner man, which is, as Christians, it's one of the battles where we have to work on it. So if I may read 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, for which cause we faint not, but thou our outward man perish, yet the inward or inner man is renewed day by day. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Sister Melinda. Time's pressing us on, brethren, and I may take on another two verses, which is 17 and 18, just to get you thinking on those as well to go on, which reads, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, is giving the reason through faith, and that you, now being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend of all the saints what is the breadth, length, and height, and depth. And to, I'll do verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. So while Sister Sue makes a comment, we'll be going to those verses. So have a think about the points that come to mind there. Sister Sue.
I'd like to just make a brief statement in that when we talk, all these verses that we read from the point where it mentioned the manifold wisdom of God, is that he takes us each individually. He knows how the number of hairs on our head, he knows. So each one is treated individually. But I'd like to read though from Malachi verses 3:16-17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So this is how individually and how unique each one of us is. And the jewels are all different kinds of jewels that expresses the manifold wisdom, that each has to be treated differently. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sister Sue. Brother Nohan posted Philippians 4 and 7 in the chat column. But now, focusing on our verse 17, Apostle Paul, if you note, again, if you go into the Greek, he's talking about Christ, but that word in the Greek word is 5548, which is the anointed that comes out from the Hebrew as well. What he's saying is that he may dwell in your hearts. And this anointing aspect, kings, remember, and priests were anointed for office. So in order to fulfill that. So again, it brings this mediatorial role between God and men, and the church meant to be involved in this mediatorship. And don't forget, it's spotless in your heart, and it is through what? It's through faith. And really, your most inner desire must be to work for that. And it's the faith in a way that justifies you that comes through. Anyway, I should be quiet. I'm the chairman. And he bring any thoughts, brethren, if you don't put them up, I'll keep chatting. I don't mind. You could do a talk on each verse. Being rooted and grounded in love. Amazing concept he's bringing in. This is love. This is the agape love, if you go into the Greek and look through it. And Apostle Paul saying you've got to be firmly rooted and grounded in love, in your character development. This is you've got to bring fruit. Your fruit up from that basis. And he's appealing to the brethren. This is to the brethren in the Ephesians church. It has an application to us in the gospel age accordingly. If your faith is strong and your love is grounded, you will grow. That's the bottom denominator, I think, that he's getting at. One thing that comes out, it creates not only for the individual, it's beyond that. It's a corporate organization, like you nearly look in the corporate world, it's coming into play, and it needs energy, and we have to energize each other and have this magnetism for each other. And if we root and develop, we can cooperate, and it starts with love. And our Lord talked about it anyway. Brother Ray, sorry.
It's a very exciting passage. It's just interesting to when we see that Christ dwelled in us and dwells in us, and where? In our hearts. It's interesting. It doesn't say in our mind. It says in our heart, the thing where all of it comes from. It's interesting, though, in what Solomon said, and we can see the difference. Second Chronicles 6 and 1, then Solomon says, the Lord that said he would dwell in the thick cloud. Well, this was the point. Before the coming of Christ, they really did not understand who God was. And it's very interesting that the apostles asked, tell us about the Father. They didn't say, tell us about Jehovah or the Almighty God or that. No, tell us about the Father. Well, actually, Christ's Father. And so I think this is the point. And also that the dwelling in our hearts is only through faith. And Sue has a comment as well.
Well, I think like it's just the magnitude, as I said, it's the manifold wisdom of God expressed in that may be able to comprehend. It can't be comprehended. Comprehend with all the saints, the width and the length and the height and the depth. Can you comprehend even the outer space? It's just something that is the shortest way to describe it. And as I said, how unique each one of us is and how we are cared for. And what I said about the comprehending with all the saints is that how can you comprehend such wonderful love that our heavenly, that God has for us through Jesus Christ? Thank you.
Thanks, Sister Sue. Notice the four dimensions that are mentioned there in verse 18, the breadth, the length, the height, and depth. It's beyond knowing. Verse 19, the love that surpasses knowledge. If you look at these words that Apostle Paul's writing down and you were to get an easel out and paint it, it's really, it's sexy of words. It's wisdom, it's breadth and length, height and love, which passes knowledge, filled with all fullness of God comes into the aspect. And it goes back to that original Greek word we plucked in at the earlier. Remember the polypolychaitic, wisdom of God. It's like love. It's got an infinite range. You cannot define it. It's infinite. So do all saints comprehend the breadth and depth and height? The answer is no. Because the ideal we are trying to strive for and to grow into, and it takes our lifetime here on earth for development. As such. And again, the 19, to know the love of Christ, that word know is from the Greek gnosis that comes out. And again, it's a deeper knowledge that comes out that Apostle Paul is using. And it's really wonderful, to appreciate this knowledge and the love of Christ, this agape. You could talk about this for hours, actually, in effect, the agape love. And the Apostle Paul loved through humility, and that's one of the walks, Christian walks, we have to focus on as well in our time. And we are at the end of, coming towards the end of our study time as well, but in the last stage of the church, and it's important to recognize the close of the gospel age, and it's quite amazing what apostles bring out. Brother Darren.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Adam. I'm just thinking, you know, the beauties of the truth and such the multifaceted aspect again, and it's really like a jigsaw puzzle when it's all put together, and it's got that, or that the picture of a body being joined in the many members and the many parts. I was just thinking of a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 4, and if I could just read 20 to 24, and he's Apostle Paul's contrasting this darkness and the a life without God and the ignorance and hardness of heart, and then when we come into Christ, it says here, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So there's this great change of being finding holiness, and this is a part, I think, of his great breadth and length and height and depth, which the saints will be eventually have their, they see it as a glass darkly, but they'll be have that new body and that new dwelling with the Lord, and be able to see him face to face. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Brother Darren. Brother Ray.
Yeah, just very quickly, when you brought out that breadth, length, heights, depth, I remembered hymn 391 or Dawn 296, and fourth verse says, "But men make his love too narrow by false limits of their own, and they magnify his vengeance with a zeal he did not own. Search the scriptures, search and see God's grand law of equity." And so I think when we look at this, that we're given that advantage, that we can see to a point the absolute breadth, length and height and depth. And we know there are many Christians that think they're doing right, that belong to churches that say, unless you're a member of ours, unless you're this, unless you do that, you're not loved by the Heavenly Father. And yet here we have the fact that we just really struggle to comprehend the great love that he had for us. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Brother Ray. Yes, and in a way, if you combine what the focus is on the God-likeness and the love in verses 18 and 19, we should grow into a comprehension of Christ's love. And if you really think about it, that is a real awesome process. I'll take Sister Yvonne's comment quickly, and because we've still got verse 20 to do and a question. Sister Yvonne.
Yes, thank you. I just am thinking this verse in Ephesians 3:19, the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. It reminds us, or reminds me, of Philippians. It says, "The peace of God which transcends all understanding." The same thing. The peace of God, the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding or knowledge. So it's based on faith, and it reminds me also of Isaiah 26, where it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So when our minds are stayed on thee, on the Heavenly Father, when we're submerged by, when we absorb ourselves in Bible study and prayer, our minds are fixed on Jesus, and we're separated. We're from the world. We're sanctified by the Word of God, and this is how we can have love of Christ or peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge. And we can only have it when we continue to abide we can only have it when we continue to have Jesus as our advocate. Thank you.
Thanks, Sister Yvonne. So we'll turn to verse 20, which reads, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Unto him, that's undoubtedly the Heavenly Father, the love of God is above anything we could ever ask for. And if you note, if you read through these verses and think about them a bit, Apostle Paul's laying sort of layer upon layer upon layer of this idea and the power. Note the theme is power after wisdom, and then love comes power. And it's the power that's able to do it, able to do and go far beyond what we ask, think, or, and just not just beyond, exceedingly is the aspect. It's more abundantly is the other word you could bring into it of what we could ask for. And also whatever we could even think of. So it's quite amazing language and Apostle Paul's using in the scripture build-up of this. And he reaches a crescendo, you might say, in this next verse. It's just amazing. Really, it's all before the wealth and grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord, really. Before this infinite manifold wisdom and these four dimensions that we've looked at. It's just amazing. And it was really an act and action in Apostle Paul's life and his character. And how we ever can thank the Heavenly Father that Apostle Paul put pen to paper and wrote these words, as he did in the Corinthians as well. He wrote the letters there. And because I think in his prima facie evidence, he lived with the Lord. And because he did that and the experiences he had, he could record that history lesson for us with the pen, well, so with the scribe in those days. And he pours out his heart, his inner feelings, if you go through these verses and think about them in your spare time. Everything he received from the Lord, and he tried to enthusiastically record it for all of us, Christ and God, and he put this pen to paper in this, what I'd call a bit of a masterpiece. He wanted the Ephesians to be able to stand up on their own, and he pointed it, for the Ephesians, but he pointed it out to us that we, after a while, that we become mature as well. And the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians, they'd come to a state where they would be able to make a stand if it was necessary. And it's paramount towards the end of this the harvest of the gospel age. We will experience more difficulties than we have now. It's going to occur. And we have to be able to stand up for those things. And he wanted to strengthen the Ephesian brethren, and hopefully in this brief study we've been able to be strengthened a bit. But I've still got the $6,000 question, so as to speak, that Sister Rowena had passed. Ephesian texts either side of where our study is. One was in Ephesians 2 and 2. From memory, those verses refer to, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Tartarus aspect of as such. I think Brother Nohan posted reprint 1679 and 172, 1682 on these. Ephesians 6 and 12 from memory in the studies refers to the nominal system. And of course, our verse 10, where we went through, the question was, is it the same thing? Any comments, brethren, in the last few remaining minutes that we got? I don't want to go too far into your break time, but I want to do it a bit of justice quickly for Sister Rowena's question. It would take a little bit longer in the normal study session, but any quick comments? As I said, they need to be quick. We can't have long explanations per se as such to Sister Rowena's question, which was posted online earlier on in the chat column, referring to Ephesians 2 and 2 and 6 and 12. The Apostle Paul makes reference about the wicked powers in heavenly places. Is that who he's referring to in verse 10? Spiritual powers, good, both good and evil as such in our verse. Looks like I'm not getting too many takers there, as such, regarding Sister Linda.
Yes, the question you say was, is that the same referring to as we have it in Ephesians chapter 6? Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in a nutshell, Sister Rowena, it appears so. That's what it's referring to, sort of fast, coming out of time. Brother Ray has relisted the question. I want to do it during the break. I'm happy to continue on, as a chairman, I didn't want to fail in covering the verses in the set time. This, just to close it off with verse 21, in Ephesians 3:21, which read, "Unto him," that's to God, "be glory in the church by Christ Jesus," and especially the secret or the mystery of what God's intent has been. Paul, as we go on through these verses, he really got so excited, as I hope I didn't get too excited. He sums up really in prayer, you could say, he says this: "Be to God for his goodness to us, for doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we could possibly ask or think. Amen." We can only say amen to those words that were jotted down. So I thank you, brethren, for your comments and contributions. I don't know if Brother Ray wants me to take it into the break for the question. It appears that it's the gelling up. So I hopefully, Sister Rowena will give the answer given to the question.